Hi, Year 11s. Today's podcast is going to be about bayonet charge. I know we had homework on it before, but thought we'd just go back over it to discuss it for the exam still. One of the things that's very obvious about bayonet charge is just from the title, we can tell it is set in a war scene, which draws obvious connections to poems like Exposure and Charge of the Light Brigade in the cluster. Now all these poems you could easily compare on the effects of war on soldiers, the way that danger is portrayed, and a number of other issues that relate to war. Once we get into analyzing the poem, there's a lot of other subtle secondary meanings that can be drawn out of the war scene and what it actually metaphorically seems to represent. Initially, the first thing we want to notice about the poem is the way that it starts. Suddenly he woke and was running. Now, Ted Hughes started the poem with the adverb suddenly, obviously creating that very intense scene of action right away. More importantly, though, this first stanza, what we want to note about it, is the way that he represents the soldier as someone who is out of place. And the fact that it starts so quickly with him plunged into action, where he's suddenly waking up running without even noticing, is the first thing we can say that shows that he kind of doesn't feel like he belongs where he is. He doesn't know why he's doing what he's doing. Other word choices that kind of give this away are the fact that he's stumbling, that he's dazzled by the rifle fire, and that the bullets are smacking the belly out of the air, all giving connotations of kind of loss, feeling lost, stumbling around, confusion, especially when he's dazzled by the rifle fire, where he's very much shocked by it. And the last image in that first stanza that shows, or rather suggests to us, that he feels out of place is the way the rifle that he's carrying around is numb to him. That the very reason he's in the war and the very purpose he has as a soldier feels numb to him, suggests that he doesn't actually feel a connection to that role. There's a lack of feeling and emotion that goes along with being a soldier for him. He doesn't feel like he belongs doing that. And his disconnection from that numb rifle that he carries is kind of contrasted by the next image of the patriotic tear, where we see this very intense emotion that he has as a patriot fighting for his country that actually comes up like molten iron, creating the simile creating the connotations that it's actually burning. This intense pain and intense emotion comes through from him in order to keep running, perhaps, despite the fact that he feels so numb to his purpose there. So there's a bit of a weird contradiction there in that first stanza, that even though he feels like he doesn't belong, the patriotism in him burns, and the emotion is so strong it actually seems to suggest that it hurts him, despite not actually feeling like he belongs there. What we can say from this is that Ted Hughes is using that first stanza to kind of make a comment on the aims and purposes of young men that might have gone into war, especially of the World War I and World War II, where propaganda might have given them this molten iron hot fervor for what they were doing and a feeling of purpose, but once they had actually gotten into the battlefield, became numb and stumbling and dazzled and very much confused by the world around them that was not really the kind of fight that they were promised they were going to be doing. The second stanza is also very significant in the way that it starts with bewilderment. Now, taking away from the immediate running, the bewilderment leads to an immediate stop, emphasized by the use of the dashes in this section and commas and question marks that kind of slow down this stanza. Also, we realize if we take a look at the shape of the poem that the second stanza is actually six lines instead of seven like the first and third. Now, what we can say about why this might have been done is to make that middle stanza stand out, that there's something missing from that stanza just like there's something missing from the soldier, as he doesn't quite get the full realization of what he's doing in the war, and we'll go on to explain that right now. So the stanza starts with him in bewilderment. He stops, and he's actually using a rhetorical question to himself, contemplating what his role is, with the metaphor, "In what cold clockwork of the stars and nations was he the hand pointing that second?" Now, the metaphor here is creating the image of a giant clock in which he is the second hand, and the constant movement of the second hand could reflect the fact that he is constantly moving in the war. He must keep going, just like his second hand would in a clock. But that metaphor also emphasizes the fact that he lacks any control in this situation. The second hand doesn't choose to keep moving forward. It is a clockwork that structures his movement and forces him to keep moving. So Ted Hughes there reinforcing the fact that the soldier, lacks control in this situation, by the metaphor of the clockwork. And again, the adjective cold at the start of that, which creates a little bit of an alliteration, actually being used to emphasize the fact that that clockwork doesn't care about him. There is no emotions for him, which could be related to the numbness of the rifle that he carries, the sense of disconnection and lack of emotion, connoted by the words numb and cold throughout the poem. More importantly, though, this metaphor is kind of bringing up the fact that there is no reason for him going around in a circle other than the structure that he's been put into. For example, the next line that follows, "He was running like a man who has jumped up in the dark and runs, listening between his footfalls for the reason of his still running." Now, in layman's terms, what this really just means is he's running, and the only reason he has to keep running is to keep running. And as he's running, he's listening for the reason to figure out why he is running. Now, a good way to explain what Ted Hughes is kind of getting at here is, imagine you had a job that you really hated, and you were the kind of person, I don't know, you might have family members or someone like this in mind that, goes to a job every morning that they absolutely hate, but they can't stop going to that job every morning because that pays the bills. And why are they paying the bills though? So they can keep going to their job. And it just kind of goes around in a circle. They have no reason really. They're just doing this kind of monotonous, vicious cycle throughout their life. And that's what the soldier is being kind of represented as doing as well. He's running to keep running. And the only reason he has to keep running is to listen between his steps to figure out why he's still running. And there's no sense of actual purpose and meaning in this pursuit. This meaningless running can be related to the way the poem starts with "suddenly he awoke," emphasizing the need to constantly keep moving that the soldier has and the lack of control he has in that clockwork of the world. However, there is something that kind of stops him. First of all, the shorter stanza can emphasize the pause and the need for him to stop, the fact that he is stopping at this moment. As it says, "His foot hung like statuary in mid-stride." And then we have the cesura that breaks up the stanza to go on to the third one, as suddenly a shot flying through the bushes threw up a yellow hare that rolled like a flame and crawled in a threshing circle. Now, what we want to pay attention to here is not so much the imagery of the rabbit that comes out of the bushes, although you can definitely link the imagery of the rabbit dazzling him, just like in the first stanza where he was dazzled by the rifle fire. But what we really want to pay attention about this rabbit is that as it comes out of the bushes, Ted Hughes has made the choice to say that it crawls in a circle, threshing around as it's dying. Now, the fact that it's going around in a circle should immediately draw our attention to, or sorry, remind us of that cold clockwork image that Ted Hughes is juxtaposing this hare that pops out of the bushes with the cold clockwork that the soldier feels like he is stuck in. Both of these figures are stuck in circular motions, meaningless, circular, repetitive motions. And the meaning of that repetition and why that repetition is so vicious will come clear when we get to the end of the poem. But firstly, we can say that he's related to the hare as it's sort of a realization of his own threshing circle, the way that he is just the second hand in the clock, moving around in circles, going back over the same motions as he's forced to by his role in the war. However, as the description of the hare ends with open, silent, its eyes standing out, full stop. The full stop there really creates an anticlimactic moment, or you could say a moment of bathos, bathos. It's a moment where what we expect to happen, which is this realization of his own purposeless circular pursuit, is ended or something. But rather, we get the anticlimactic moment where nothing changes. He plunges past with his bayonet. He keeps moving. And all these ideas that he would have for stopping, for being true to himself, maybe, for acting out of purpose, things like king, honor, human dignity, all those things he believed when he came to the war, those all drop away. He doesn't carry those with him. He has to keep moving. So, as he is fighting every day, he has to keep moving, leaving behind the actual reasons he had to come to the war. So, things like king, honor, and human dignity might have been those inspiration for young men to go into World War I and World War II. You know, the nobility of fighting for your king and nation and defending your country, of being a strong man and becoming this chivalric warrior figure. In World War I and II, those ideological aims didn't come true for many soldiers. And like this soldier, they had to just keep going. So as he's looking at the hare, we might think that he's realizing, you know, why am I here? Why am I just going around in circles like the hand and the clockwork? Why am I still running? I'm just doing this repetitive motion, circular motion that's only going to lead to my own death when he just keeps going. The anticlimactic moment really kind of defeating him as he has to keep going and leave those things behind, dropping them like luxuries. There's something he can't carry with him in this war. And to emphasize the fact that he has to just keep going, the last stanza goes back to seven lines, just like the first. Now, Ted Hughes might be doing this to emphasize the fact that the soldier is going around in circles. That as he is having this short little moment of realization with the metaphor of the cold clockwork, the juxtaposition of himself and the hare, and realizing his purposelessness and how he's just going around in these meaningless circles in this war, that as he's realizing things, the stanza structure going back to seven lines really just emphasizes the fact that nope, we're going back to the start. And we can kind of imagine the whole poem starting all over again, as it might have for many soldiers in the war. They would have one day been sent to call, charged an enemy trench, and then had to repeat the same actions over and over and over and over again. And the only reason they had to keep doing that was to stay alive, which is what we see in the very end. The soldier had to get out of the blue, crackling air, his terrors touchy dynamite, his fear of dying so intense that it's like dynamite in him, that it explodes and causes him to go into action, just like at the start of the poem. Now, all of this can easily be linked to the way the soldiers are represented, similar to something like Charge of the Light Brigade, where there's the pressure on soldiers to keep moving forward, the repetition in Charge of the Light Brigade doing that. In this case, it's those circular images in the threshing circle and the cold clockwork. However, unlike that poem, there's a complete lack of nobility. There's an explicit lack of nobility when he says that king, honor, and human dignity are all dropped in the soldier. Whereas in Charge of the Light Brigade, we see, obviously, by the end, there's that anaphora that ends with noble 600. However, I did say at the start of this video, and wow, it's 15 minutes. I can't believe any of you have sat through that. I said at the start of the video that the bayonet charge might actually be a metaphor for something else. And top points might be awarded, I don't know, if you were to be able to talk about how this represented an existential crisis moment, the moment of realizing that our lives are these purposeless pursuits. One of the main theorists of the existential movement, Albert Camus, came up with a story called The Myth of Sisyphus. And the myth of Sisyphus is that Sisyphus is basically being condemned for eternity to push a rock up to the top of a hill, and it would never actually reach the top of the hill, because once he got there, the rock would roll back down, and Sisyphus would have to continue this punishment over and over and over and over for eternity. And Camus saw that not only was this the ultimate punishment, but this was kind of the existential, this was the real human condition, that this is what we actually have to face. We face in our lives this purposeless moving of a rock up a hill, only to the next morning have to do it all over again and over again, with no real sense of purpose and reason behind it. And if you're a little astute in realizing what I was talking about, of the sense of purposelessness in the soldier in the first stanza, feeling confused and no sense of belonging, no sense of purpose, with his numb rifle, as well as those circular metaphors that relate to his action in the war, Ted Hughes is really using the bayonet charge to kind of represent the way that we all as humans face these struggles of going over the same motions over and over, that we are all stuck in these cold clockworks. It's not just soldiers, that there is sometimes these noble, idealistic things like king, honor, human dignity in this poem that we leave behind in our lives, and we have to keep going. We plunge past them as we have to keep moving in life. We can't just dwell on the fact that there is no purpose. We have to keep moving. But unfortunately, in the case of the soldier, this is a life or death decision. They have to keep moving for life and death. Perhaps maybe Ted Hughes is just using the war scene to get that image to us as well, that in our own lives, moving forward is a matter of life and death. We can't just go around in circular motions, threshing like that hare, or being like the Colt second hand, getting nowhere. We have to keep moving, otherwise it's life or death.